We are going to turn our attention to one of Paul's most important letters that he ever penned and recorded in the New Testament. You see, when God sent his Son into this world, he sent him not to condemn, but to save this world from the sin that came upon us as a result of the fall. And when Jesus finished his earthly mission, when he had obtained salvation full and complete for all mankind, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach this gospel, this good news, this unconditional good news to all men, to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But there is one who hates the gospel, one who does not want you to understand the gospel. He is the enemy of souls. The Bible calls him Satan. And ever since the birth of the Christian church, Satan has been attacking this gospel. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, Paul tells the Corinthian believers that if the gospel be hid, it is hid because the god of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe, lest they come to light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, dear listener, Satan doesn't only stop there at the unbelievers. The moment you and I have accepted the gospel and are rejoicing in Christ, he will do his utmost to sidetrack you, to sidetrack me, to sidetrack every Christian from the pure gospel that was proclaimed by the disciples. That is why wherever the Apostle Paul proclaimed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and established churches, Satan's agents, the Judaizers, dogged his footsteps to undo his good work and rob Christians of their freedom in Christ. One such church was that of Galatia. That's why Galatians, or Paul's epistle to the Galatians, is a stern, severe, and solemn letter with no commendation, no praise, and no thanksgiving. The Galatian believers, who had accepted the false teachings of the Judaizers, were in grave danger because the very foundation of their faith was being attacked. Hence, we can define Paul's epistle to the Galatians as a fighting letter. Today, many Christians of all denominations have fallen into the same trap as the Galatians Christians did. A subtle form of legalism, a confusion of the gospel which saves us, and the fruits of the gospel, which is the evidence of our salvation, but which make no contribution to our ticket to heaven. That is why, dear listener, even 20th century Christians must desperately consider Paul's message to the Galatians. Because Galatians is the New Testament declaration of emancipation or independence from any and every type of legalism. It is the strongest document in all of Scripture in defense of this vital doctrine called justification by faith alone. In fact, it is believed that Luther declared that the church stands or falls in its understanding of this important doctrine, justification by faith. It is God's polemic on behalf of the most important truth of Scripture and Christian faith, salvation by faith in Christ alone. Now, in this epistle of Galatians, Paul is dealing with issues which are far from being dead. In every age, Satan, the enemy of souls, has tried to destroy the purity of the gospel and thus rob God's people of the joy and the assurance of salvation in Christ. A true understanding of Galatians is therefore one of the most powerful ways to guard the purity of the gospel in our age. And beginning today, we are going to systematically go through this epistle of Paul to the Galatians. You see, from the time Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, to his imprisonment in Rome, which led to his martyrdom, we have approximately 30 years. During this time, Paul traveled widely throughout the Roman Empire as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. On his three famous missionary journeys, he preached the gospel and planted churches in the province of Galatia, in Asia, in the northern and southern parts of Greece. And these churches, these visits, were followed by his letters by which he helped to supervise the early church that he had founded, Galatians being one of his earliest, somewhere between 48 to 57 AD. After Paul left Galatia, false teachers had infiltrated the churches of Galatia and convinced the believers that Paul was, number one, a self-appointed apostle, and therefore his gospel that he gave them was his own idea. As soon as this news reached the Apostle Paul, he wrote this severe letter. And our first study of this epistle will cover the first 10 verses of chapter 1, in which Paul touches on the two main themes of this epistle, namely his apostolic authority which had come under fire, and secondly, the gospel which he proclaimed. After Paul had established the churches in Galatia, these false teachers, called the Judaizers, came to these churches and mounted a powerful two-pronged attack on Paul's authority as well as his gospel. Now, these Judaizers were Jewish Christians who believed in Christ as the Messiah, so they were believers, but they rejected Paul's message of salvation by grace alone. To counteract this gospel, they attacked his apostle authority and thus undermined his message. They insisted that justification is not by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, it includes that. But besides faith, we must also be circumcised. They insisted we must do good works and we must keep the law. In fact, this was the first major controversy in the Christian church, and which resulted in the Jerusalem Council, recorded in Acts 15, verse 1 onwards. There in Acts 15, you will discover that these same Judaizers who came to Antioch insisted that the Gentile Christians had to be circumcised, verse 1, and had to keep the law, verse 5, in order to be saved. And both Paul and Barnabas opposed this teaching with all the power and the authority that they had to undermine these Judaizers that were perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let us begin by reading the first 10 verses of chapter 1 of Galatians. And then we will go step by step. And if you have your Bible, dear listener, I would recommend that you turn to it. I'm going to read these first 10 verses from the New King James. You follow from your Bible or listen, and then we will see what Paul is getting at. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me in the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now these first five verses is the introduction. Then in verse 6 to 10, he deals with the Galatian problem. This is what he says. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men? Or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant or a slave of Christ. Well, what is Paul saying here? First of all, let's look at the introduction to this epistle. That is the first five verses of chapter 1. Paul says, he introduces himself as an apostle, but then he adds in brackets, not from men, that is plural, M-E-N, referring to some committee, like the apostles chose Matthias, nor, he says, from men, singular. In other words, Paul is saying that he is an apostle not chosen by some committee or by some church official or even himself, but he is an apostle called by Jesus Christ and God the Father. In other words, he is simply saying to the Galatian Christians, these Judaizers are lies when they accuse me of being a self-appointed apostle. In fact, if you were to read Paul's conversion in Acts 9, verse 10 to 15, where God tells Ananias to go to this place where Paul is praying, for he is a chosen vessel. Now, the word apostle means one who is sent forth. It is a term that is normally used for missionaries. But it had a special meaning in the New Testament. It also meant the 12 apostles. And you will find this in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Now, in my opinion, I believe that Paul took the place of Judas. You see, when the disciples chose Matthias, they chose him before Pentecost. They should have waited. I believe that if the Spirit was allowed to guide in this matter, he would have mentioned to them that my choice is the Apostle Paul. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. Now in verse 2, Paul goes on to say that he, an apostle of God, is writing to the Galatians, and he is also being backed up by all the brethren who are with me. Now please notice, he calls his co-workers brethren, because the word apostles is only to the selected 12 that God had chosen to be the pillars of the church, the early Christian church. So he calls them brethren. He does not call them apostles, even though they are co-workers with him. And then in verse 3, he says, grace and peace. Now this is the formal greeting, and it is the shortest greeting that Paul ever penned in all his epistles recorded in the New Testament. And then he turns to the gospel, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, Jesus is the one who gave himself for our sins. See, when Christ gave himself for our sins, he gave everything. You know, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What exactly did he give? Well, John in his epistle, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, tells us that gift was the life of Christ. God gave his Son, Jesus gave himself, to deliver us from this present evil world. Why? Because this world stands doomed under the condemnation and the curse of the law of God. But in Christ we have salvation, full and complete. and we can add nothing to this salvation. Salvation is not partly by grace and partly by what we do. The moment we add anything to the gospel of grace, we are perverting the gospel and are in danger of losing salvation altogether. This was the danger that the Galatian Christians faced. In fact, when we come to chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 4, Paul tells the Galatians that the moment they add law-keeping as a requirement for justification, they are fallen from grace. And that is why a clear understanding of Galatians will prevent us from falling into the same pitfall. Now, with this in mind, let's turn to the Galatian problem, verses 6 to 10. He starts with the statement, "I marvel." What he's saying is, "I am astonished. I am absolutely shocked." Why? Because of the overwhelming reception of the gospel, which he mentioned in chapter 4, verse 15, and now so quickly deserting it. Now, the phrase "so soon removed" found in the King James Version is misleading, since the Greek is not in the passive or in the past, but in the present tense active voice. So what is Paul really saying here is this, that you have already begun turning away from the gospel so quickly. Now, if Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians from Corinth, then they were turning away from the gospel only 3 years after they had accepted it. If this letter was written from Ephesus, then it was only 1 year from the time they had accepted the gospel that they were now turning away from it. You know, folks, this is the danger that we all face. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and come under the umbrella of justification by faith alone, the devil will immediately come and try and sidetrack you as he did with the Galatians. You see, the essence of Paul's gospel was salvation by grace alone. You will find this, for example, in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are we saved through faith, and it is not of any works, it is a gift of God." Paul tells us the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:18. The same thing in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul's message of salvation was a message of grace alone. The Judaizers came with a different gospel. This gospel was salvation by grace plus circumcision, plus keeping the law, plus good works. And in verse 7, Paul makes it clear in Galatians 1, verse 7, that this different gospel is not another gospel. But there are some, that is the Judaizers, who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word trouble here is agitate or warring factions. This is what the Judaizers were. And they were there to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that word pervert is a strong Greek word. The Judaizers had actually changed the gospel from good news to bad news or to good advice. But the gospel is not good advice. It is unconditional good news. And the good news is this, that in Jesus Christ, God has obtained for mankind salvation full and complete. And so Paul adds in verse 8, "But even if we," and the "we" refers to himself along with his co-workers, or it could refer to the other apostles, which I think is what he meant. "Even if we," that is, we apostles, "or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed, let him be anathema." That is how strongly Paul felt about those who tried to pervert the gospel that God had given him to proclaim to the Gentile world. Paul is using a very strong term. "Let him be accursed." That term, that word accursed, anathema, means lost forever. That term means may God's wrath come upon such a person. And verse 9 repeats it. And the repetition is to imply the seriousness of the day of tempering the gospel. My dear listener, don't you ever try to temper with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul's strong words clearly indicate in verse 10 that no one must ever be a man pleaser, but we must please God. We are the servants of Jesus Christ. What is Paul saying? What is the synopsis of this Galatian problem? Number one, we saw that first of all, Paul's epistle to the Galatians is his reaction, his astonishment of how could the Galatians sidetrack from the gospel so soon. And his reaction is righteous indignation. This is not an outburst of anger. It is God speaking through the Apostle Paul. And we and the angel can be anyone. It can include you, it can include me, it can include any human being, it can include any supernatural being who tries to pervert the gospel. And such a person comes under the curse of God. Galatians, therefore, is a serious danger of losing. The Galatians, in other words, were in serious danger of losing their salvation completely by turning to a perverted gospel. That is why, my dear listener, we must treat this epistle of Paul very seriously. Paul's strong words clearly indicate that he is not a man pleaser, but a faithful servant of God. And that is what we must be. But Paul's epistle to the Galatians is very much applicable today as it was in his day. The devil has not stopped sidetracking Christians from the wonderful truth as it is in Christ. And that is why I want to take you step by step through this epistle. I wanted to show you that there is only one gospel for all mankind, whether you lived in the Old Testament times or whether you live in the New Testament times, whether you are a Jew or whether you are a Gentile. There is only one gospel that is able to save mankind. There are some today who say that there are many roads to heaven and Christianity is only one way. No, my dear listener, there is only one mediator between a holy God and sinful man. There is only one way that you and I can qualify for heaven. There is only one way that we can stand legally just before God's holy law, and that is by faith in the doing and the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why when the Judaizers came to Antioch and tried to pervert this gospel, you will see that Paul and Barnabas did not take this lightly. Let me turn to Acts chapter 15 and listen to what took place there to show you how Paul feels about anyone who tries to pervert the gospel. These are in my concluding remarks, Paul's concern about anyone who tries to pervert the gospel. There in Acts 15, we read that certain men came from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, Paul was not against circumcision. He definitely is not against good works. And he certainly uplifts the law as a standard of Christian living. But the moment you add any of these three things, the moment you require these three things in order to be saved, the moment you add the law or good work as a method or a contributing factor towards salvation, then you and I have perverted the gospel. And so I read in Acts 15, verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or disputation and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Folks, this was a crucial moment in the history of the Christian church. Would the apostles agree with the Apostle Paul? And I thank God the apostles in Jerusalem defended Paul. For I read in Acts 15, this is what they said in verse 10. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And then in verse 11, but we believe, that is, we apostles believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. We is referring to the Jews, the they is referring to Gentiles. There is only one way mankind can be saved. It is through faith in the righteousness of Christ. And it is my prayer that if you are a Christian, that you will not allow anyone to sidetrack you from this gospel. And if you happen to be an unbeliever, or if you have are been pulled by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ but have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, my plea to you, dear listener, is that there is only one way you can make it to heaven, through faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it is my prayer that as we study this important epistle, so relevant to us today, that we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free, and that this freedom will no one rob us of. This is my prayer, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.